The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
Now, the Dublin Rape Crisis Centre have launched a new campaign that is called Signs of Hope. And it's using direct messages from survivors who've benefited from the Rape Crisis Centre and from the support and advice they provide. And the aim is to encourage others, other survivors, to seek those same services. Blanid Raley is with me, survivor of sexual violence, who has spoken to us on this show previously. Blanid, you're very welcome. Thanks a million.
Thanks so much for having me.
For coming into us. Tell me a little bit more about this campaign and the importance of encouraging people to engage with services.
Yeah, so I was pitched this campaign by the Dublin Rape Crisis Centre as, you know, something they were working on to try and get people who had been victims of sexual violence but hadn't yet, you know, received any of their services. And they thought, okay, how can we get these people in, or at least, you know, how are they going to know what's available to them? So the whole point of the campaign is small little messages, handwritten in our own handwriting, from me and a number of other sexual violence survivors. We were all just told, kind of given free rein, if you just met somebody that has been through sexual violence, what would you like to tell them? In a few short words. There's lots of things you'd like to tell them, but a few, you know, little snippets. So there's lots of different ones that are going to be, I think there's 8 or so in total, and they're going to be displayed on billboards throughout Dublin over the next 4 weeks or so, in the hopes of catching people's attention and maybe giving somebody a little snippet of hope, or, you know, something like that, and maybe encouraging them to see the services that Dublin Rape Crisis have.
What did you put on your little message?
My one, it took me a while because I had so much, I could have wrote an essay.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah. My one says, "You're braver than you ever could have imagined," which is something I think I came across in the whole thing. You know, I always would have thought as myself as quite a pushover, quite a soft, sensitive person, which I am. But throughout the whole trial and everything like that, I found this strength and sort of a gung-ho, like, let's just get this done kind of an attitude that I didn't think I ever had in me. A strength that I never thought was actually there, turns out is there. Not in the greatest circumstances, but, you know, you find positives in these things too.
And listen, I get that the whole fact that this campaign is necessary is a reflection of the fact that there are people out there, and we know this, it's kind of borne out in statistics and surveys and the lived reality, that there's people out there who are survivors who never make a complaint to Gardaí, they never engage with services, they kind of bury it for whatever reason, and that's not a kind of to pass judgment at all, but it is the reality.
Yeah, and there's some people that their circumstances don't allow them to engage with services. You know, abuse could be a family member, it could be, you know, within a marriage or something like that, and it does make it very difficult. I suppose something that I would like to try and get across to people who might think, you know, going to counselling isn't for me, I don't have the time to give an hour a week or whatever, I'm not interested in sitting talking to somebody about my feelings. One, the counselling isn't like that. It's very much on your own sort of pace and what you want to talk about. You might never even talk about the details of what happened to you. But two, Dublin Rape Crisis Centre offer a phone line that's there all year round. And it could be just when you're really struggling with something, or you just need to chat. You might never have shared this with somebody. Very few people might know, and you just need to talk it out or chat or get a bit of support and drop in. That phone line is there for those people. There's a text line also for people who mightn't feel comfortable talking to somebody but just need to get it off their chest or share something. There's a text line there. So they are trying to offer support in every way that may suit every person.
I just think it's interesting you say that you might never even talk about the detail of what happened, because I suspect that's one of the other reasons maybe some people, not all, but some people don't come forward or don't engage with services. Yeah. They think, I don't want to relive this. I don't want to sit down and have some therapist asking me what happened and some counsellor and then I'm in group therapy and I'm sharing it again. I don't want to relive it.
Yeah, and that was something I found really, really difficult in my own experience. And obviously everyone's experience is different, but I found to go through that detail of what actually had happened to me very hard. And I actually never went through it in my counselling. I never went through the really, you know, graphic detail. I just couldn't go there. So we didn't. We didn't go there. We talked around it and we talked about how I felt and different things that had affected me. But I never actually had to go to that really detailed. There was no need for it, you know.
Yeah.
So obviously, if somebody feels that that's beneficial to them, they can, but it, you don't have to. It's not something that you're going to be asked all of these questions on and you're going to be made to talk about it week in, week out. That's not what happens.
I'm sure. And again, this, my kind of questions are all coming from a place of absolute ignorance.
Yeah.
And I kind of lucky in that regard. But I assume it can feel like a very lonely place, despite the reality. You can look at the statistics and say, you know, X amount of women have experienced this, but you know, you're not, they're not walking around with badges,
yeah,
kind of on their lapels.
Yeah.
Nobody knows. And that's probably something that, again, reaching out helps to address that loneliness.
That loneliness,
it?
Yeah. And that was something that I really struggled with and still really struggle with. It's so lonely. And you might have the most supportive friends and family, but unless they have a lived experience, it's very hard for them to understand the feelings you're going through. And that was something that I found in sort of after all of this was somebody coming to me and describing a feeling. You know, I had always struggled with feeling a guilt for my attacker, and everyone would say to me, "You're mad. Like, why are you thinking about him? He doesn't care about you. He's never cared about you." And one day this girl sent me a message and she had talked about she had been assaulted, and she said, "But I don't want to ruin his life." And she was sharing something really, you know, personal to her. And I don't think she'll ever realise what she actually did was said to me, "I know exactly how you feel." And she's the only person that I have ever felt, oh, this girl understands. You know, somebody finally understands how I feel, because it is so lonely. And people, you know, are trying to be very helpful.
Yeah.
But it's a really hard thing to help somebody with, you know. So if you can take that little bit of time in your week to share, or, you know, for somebody to say, "I can understand why you feel like that. That's very understandable," or whatever. It just makes you feel a lot less alone.
Yeah. It's interesting the way you describe it. It's almost like another manifestation of something that, you know, soldiers would experience when they kind of, they come back, they're no longer with their people that they kind of experience trauma with,
and, yeah,
and they're desperate to get back to them, but, and meet, yeah, them, or even get back to, you know, the place of trauma. These people kind of go back for no tours of duty,
yeah,
because
and
they're
just
desperate
to say,
experience what they know.
Yeah. And it's somebody to say, "Yeah, I know how you feel," or "I can understand,
yeah,
why you'd feel like that." Not, "Don't feel like that," you know, like,
yeah,
it'd be great if we could turn off those feelings. But yeah, for somebody to just be able to validate your feeling.
And, but I'm sure as well, though, that the friends you mentioned as well, like, there's a kind of an uncertainty about what to say,
yeah,
as well. Like,
yeah, people don't know what to say and they don't want to say the wrong thing.
Yeah.
And people often will say, "I don't want to say the wrong thing, so I'll just say nothing."
Yeah.
And then again, then you're leaving that person in a state of loneliness all over again, because they're alone, because you want to avoid the conversation. It's very understandable. You want to avoid it and you feel awkward about it. So that person just stays alone in a lot of ways.
Which is, I guess, alleviated then if people do reach out, which is what the whole point of this is.
And
I know you, because you and I have spoken about this before as well, about kind of the legal process and that whole aspect of it as well. And I'm sure all those support services were helpful during that.
Yeah, massively. So I engaged with the Rape Crisis Centre a week after my attack.
Okay.
And stayed with them for 5 years. So I've really milked the services. You know, I've really got my time out of it. And I still do, you know, I don't use them regularly now, but when I need it, my trauma kind of comes in waves. And when I need it, I go for a couple of sessions.
Yeah.
Then I'm grand again and off I go my merry way.
And what triggers it when it comes? Do you mind me asking?
It can be literally anything. It can be, you know, I can be in a situation where I feel a little bit uncomfortable. Somebody might stand too close to me or something like that. And that can just throw me. The legal process, that trial really threw me and kind of put me into this like wave of trauma, you know, which brings you right back into that heightened state. And it can just take a little while to kind of come back down again. But like that, I got great support.
Yeah.
I've learned techniques. I've learned how to kind of ride the wave, I say, and just kind of not try and fix the problem, just feel it for a few days and then kind of come out the other side of it.
And there's amazing people working in those services. Are there enough of those services?
I was very lucky. I had no wait time. Mm. I know some people do have wait times to try and get into services. I think it depends where you are in the country. I know Dublin Rape Crisis Centre are offering a group support now for people who are awaiting trial or the DPP have charged their attackers or whatever. Yeah. So everyone's kind of at the same stage in their process. And I think that's amazing to be able to talk to people going through with the same fears of court and all of that. That's just an amazing support. There's always more supports needed for, you know, for everything. But the work they do is amazing. And the work they've done with me, even after my trial, it's in a different role, but they'll never realise the purpose they've given me after all of this. And to be able to do things like this and the campaign, you know, and try and reach out to other people is just, you know, that's therapy for me in itself, really, what they've done in the aftermath. You know, it's a sort of a counselling in a different essence, or a therapy in a different way.
Well, the name of the campaign is, it's the Signs of Hope campaign, Blonid Rally, one of those survivors who has contributed to it. And Blonid mentions the helpline, that's available 24 hours to contact Dublin Rape Crisis Centre's helpline, 1-800-77-8888, 1-800-77-8888. Blonid, thanks a million.
Thank you very much.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.